a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Live Mike. I'm Lee Lonsberry. In just a moment, we're expected to be joined by Dr. Mike Coons. Mike Coons of Utah State University, a forester there, because a question occurred to me this morning as I, specifically when I received a video via text message from my wife. She was driving past Liberty Park earlier today, right in the middle of all these heavy winds. And what she showed me there was in the video that there were, tens of trees which had been toppled over. And you've seen this on social media, I'm sure, today and on KSL television. And if you make your way over to KSLNewsRadio.com, we have reporters who are safely deployed out in the field today, gathering all the information surrounding this windstorm, which right now we are in the midst of. I don't want to misuse the phrase, but maybe we're in the eye of the storm because the prediction is that later on today into the evening that these winds will pick right back up. Maybe not to the 70, 80, 90, 100 plus mile per hour levels of earlier today, but we should see them pick back up. And so what does that mean as we tactically prepare to do battle with this windstorm? It means that there's more in store. There's more in store. And so if you look out your window, if you look over to your neighbor's yard and their car is smashed under that big tree which has stood there for decades and decades, and you say to yourself, you know, I bet I could help them out. Wait. Give them a phone call. Make sure they're okay immediately. But cleaning up the yard, being outside more than is necessary, that's got to be something we put off for a few days until, number one, the winds die down. Number two, power is restored because, those live lines out there, they can pose a threat, certainly. And what do we know? What do we know about the impact right now? We earlier heard from Spencer Hall with Rocky Mountain Power. Right now, there are 170-some-odd thousand Utahns who are without power. And that stems from 2,500 outages. That means all of those electrical stations throughout the state that there have been 2,500 instances where either the wind itself or falling trees have taken out the power to that area. So another thing to be mindful of, because of the power being out, and you multiply the situation, or you multiply the challenge of the situation by the fact that there's snow falling, and what does snowfall mean? It means the temperatures are falling, and so tonight, as we move into the overnight and those temperatures fall, we are going to be challenged with some chilly temperatures inside our homes. Okay, what does that mean? This might be the most important thing to stay mindful of. We've been very well accustomed to the warm temperatures of summer. We are not yet acclimated to the cold. And yet, as we move into tonight, we need to be very, very cautious not to do things to stay warm that might also jeopardize our health and our lives. Okay, always be mindful of carbon monoxide. That's a danger. That's a killer. There are entire families that are wiped out because of imprudence when it comes to heaters of that sort. Okay, carbon monoxide is our absolute enemy. Before you do anything tonight to stay warm, ask yourself, is this going to cause me some trouble? Could this possibly lead to some sort of poisoning that could be of damage to myself or my family? And if the answer is yes, well, then maybe instead of taking that route, you bundle up, maybe an extra sweater, extra sweatshirt. All right. So that's that. Also, tracks. We have heard from a representative from the Utah Transit Authority, Carl Arkey. He lets us know that, you know, as the power is out and how tracks is very much dependent on electricity to operate, you know, until the power's back up and running, tracks is going to be at a standstill. Very luckily, though, he says that at least this was true about an hour ago. No damage sustained to the trains or the track, and his crews are out working to get things back up and running. RideUTA.com is the website. If you're reliant on public transportation and you need to know either if you know your leg of the front runner ride is available to you, or if if the bus schedule is running, or if there is any type of detours, and there are certainly detours, right? I'm sure you yourself, you may be on the road right now, and the highest of likelihoods is if you are, you can look outside and see a downed tree at this very moment. I've seen a number of them myself. And as I mentioned earlier, it led me to the question, is it possible for those trees to be saved? You know, once one of these giant trees topples over and it pulls up the grass and maybe upends a sidewalk slab, is there any way to reverse that? Some of these trees are beautiful, historic things. And is there any coming back once they've toppled over? To help us understand the answer to that question, I'm joined now by Utah State University forester Dr. Mike Coons, who joins me. Doctor, sir, thanks for making time for us. How are you?
Good, except I've been outside since about 9 this morning because a tree toppled over in my yard, burned up the roots and everything. And to answer your question, no. Unless you planted the tree, you know, this summer, and you want to put it back upright and put a couple stakes on it, that would be fine. But any tree of any size won't survive that kind of disruption.
And what's the nature of the disruption? The roots are just obliterated. Yeah. There's no reconnecting them. There's no way for that tree to ever get nutrients through those roots again.
Yeah, it's a combination of the fact that a lot of roots would be broken if it happens at the soil level, like we're talking about. Combine that with the fact that if the tree is old and big and this happened to it, then something was wrong with the root system, most likely. And so trying to stand it back up, you're going to try to fix a bigger problem than just if the tree blew down. It's that, like, there's fungi called root rots that get on trees that cause them to fall over, even in nature.
I see.
So it's not just where we plant trees.
To put it in COVID terms, we can understand the trees that have toppled over due to the wind, they may have also had pre-existing conditions?
There's a very good chance that they did, yes.
Last piece of advice I'd like to get from you before we go to break. If I am a homeowner, I've got a big tree, big beautiful tree has been out in my yard, in the backyard, providing shade for years and years, and today I discover that it's toppled over. What do I do first?
Well, make sure there are no utility lines near. And don't go near them if there are. Like, if there's an electric line on the ground and you step over it, it can arc to you and kill you. So don't try to guess whether you're seeing electric lines. If you're seeing any kind of utility line, just call whichever utility,
right.
Like Rocky Mountain Power, and they'll take care of that.
Once the question of live wires is answered and you have in your yard this fallen, not-to-be-rescued tree, how could one extract value from a tree of that size?
Well, I called my insurance company, and I won't say the name of them because I'm kind of mad about it, but I actually teach a workshop for professional arborists every other year on how to put a dollar value on a tree. And this tree that I lost this morning is worth about $3,300 doing the appraisal using that technique.
Yeah.
And I was told that if I asked for anything, even the cost of a new tree, which I could get a big one for maybe $700-$800, that they wouldn't even cover that.
Mm.
Well, and they might, but if they did, then I would pay higher premiums for 5 years. So.
All right. So that's a conversation that, you know, each individual have with their insurer. I guess I was more curious, is there a way that we could, you know, have that wood processed and maybe we build something in our backyard? That's an option certainly available to folks. Doctor, I have to let you go. I'm grateful to you for the information you've brought to this conversation. I wish you the best of luck with your own yard and your own trees. And stay safe, please, tonight as the winds return. Quick break. When we return, we'll be speaking with Jason Curry of the Division of Forestry, Fire and State Lands. We're going to be talking about the risks that come from target shooting at dry, hot times of the year. That's ahead on Live Mike. I'm Lee Lonsberry, and this is KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.